It's a Sunday afternoon in the early 1990s. A little girl meticulously spreads stuffed animals and baby dolls on the living room floor. She pulls a piano bench out into the middle of the floor in front of the TV. She runs to the kitchen to rummage for a loaf of white bread. It might be sliced, but who cares? She fills a cup with water, because the kids aren't allowed to have drinks in the living room, so this is the best that she could do. She sets the bread and the cup on the piano bench, just like Pastor did this morning at church. And sitting beside the bread and the cup is the green Lutheran Book of Worship. Now, if you haven't already noticed, the living room is being prepared as if it were a church. The stuffed animals and dolls are the congregation, and this little girl, me, was their pastor. This was a regular scene at the Fry House. Baby dolls were baptized, hymns were sung, and communion was celebrated. Why anyone was surprised that I became a pastor is beyond me, folks. On Sunday mornings as a child, I would soak in everything that was going on around me, just so I could replicate it at home. I loved bringing church home. I loved making church my own. I loved praising God. I didn't know it at the time, and it took me years to realize, but it was in these living room church moments that God was calling me to become a pastor. So thank you, God, for Mom and Dad, who made sure we got to church almost every Sunday and who shared their enormous faith with me and my brother. In our reading from 2 Timothy today, Paul is writing a letter to his friend and mentee, Timothy, who was a leader in the church. Now, sadly, we know so little about what's going on in the background of this letter. We have no idea what's going on in Timothy's life, but it seems like it's something difficult, something draining, something that's causing Timothy to doubt his call in God's church. Now, this letter, like so many of Paul's letters, are what I like to call cheerleader letters, because Paul uses these letters to cheer on his friends far away, to inspire them to action for God's church and the gospel. In this letter, Paul writes, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you." Paul uses the examples of Timothy's mother and grandmother to encourage him, to remind him of the awesome gift of faith in his life. Paul wants Timothy to remember the roles and the influence of these women in his life of faith. So this brings us to our theme for today: thank your elders. Who is a Lois or a Eunice in your life? Who are the people who shared God's love with you? Who brought you to church or invited you to be a part of the church? Who taught you about the awesomeness of God? They might be your parents. They might be a pastor. They might be friends. So thank you, God, for the people who share your love with us. In addition to my parents, I had several loving, wonderful people like Lois and Eunice in my life at church. In fact, it's lovely that this reading came up for today, because a couple of weeks ago, I went home to my home congregation in Lancaster to celebrate the retirement of our pastor there, someone who was a Lois or a Eunice in my life. Pastor Strauss was the pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church for over 30 years. He was the pastor that baptized me, confirmed me, and just over a year ago, sponsored me at my ordination. So to say that he was a part of my discernment process toward becoming a pastor would be an understatement. I like to think I played church in the living room on Sunday afternoons because I saw what God was doing through him, and I wanted to be a part of it. So thank you, God, for Pastor Strauss. Another Lois in my life, and quite literally, because her name was Lois, was my 7th and 8th grade Sunday school teacher. At 9 a.m. every Sunday morning, we would gather around a small table with her, and for 2 years, we would read the Bible out loud, verse by verse, Genesis to Revelation. Let me tell you, friends, that is the most boring thing to do on a Sunday morning for a 13-year-old. But, and this is a big but, I can stand up here and say that I have read the whole Bible cover to cover because of her. She thought it was important for us to read God's word, and read God's word we did. So thank you, God, for Lois. In addition to Lois was her husband, Harry. Harry always had Wrigley's double mint gum in his suit jacket pocket on Sunday mornings. And after church, he would be surrounded by all of the children of the church as we stuck out our hands waiting for our piece of gum. Now, this piece of gum might seem insignificant, but to me, that was the gospel. I experienced God's love with a piece of gum and a smile that came with it. And so did every other kid in that church. So thank you, God, for Harry. So friends, who is a Lois in your life? Who is a Eunice? Take a few moments. Imagine their faces. Think about how their gift of faith touched your life. Because in a few moments, we're going to thank God for those folks. I'm going to say thank you, God, for, and I want you to respond with the name of one of those people. Okay. Are you ready? Thank you, God, for. How amazing is it that God gives us people like them in our lives? Literal gifts of faith. And how awesome is it when we get to share their gifts with others? Because not only does Paul want Timothy to give thanks for Lois and Eunice, Paul wants Timothy to share what Lois and Eunice first gave him. Did you notice all of the gift language in this reading? Rekindle the gift of God. God gives us. This grace was given to us. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you. Like Timothy, we have been given so many good gifts from God and from those Loises and Eunices in our lives. But those gifts don't end with us. Like Timothy, we're called to share those gifts with others. We're called to pass them along, to be a Lois or a Eunice in someone else's life. Look around you. There are younger Christians, children in this church, who need as many Loises and Eunices in their lives as possible. How can you share the gift that you have been given with them? It is so simple. Welcome them into this place. Show them how much God loves them. Encourage them to praise God. Invite them to be a part of this church. Because when we share these gifts with kids, they want to be here. They want to be a part of this awesome family of God. They want to share this gift with others. So yes, there was once a little girl who loved church so much that she went home and she played church. And then she became a pastor. And today, there is a little girl in our church who goes home and sings "This is the Feast" at the top of her lungs because she has been given this gift. She loves God. She loves the church. There's another little girl who is over the moon excited to become a new greeter at Trinity. She told me last week, "I get to help people." She's 4. She has been given a gift and she wants to share it. So today, we give thanks for those who have given us this gift of faith. But we leave this place knowing that it doesn't stop with us. We say thank you when we share that gift, when we give it to every person we meet. How awesome is our God? How awesome is it that God gives us people who share God's love with us? And how awesome is it when we get to share God's love with others? Thanks be to God. Amen.